Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Did you get lots of Easter eggs?
I did.
Easter bunnies?
I did. And the best part of Easter, you know, is you can go back to eating chocolate, back to all of those.
Back to eating in between meals, back to meat, back to, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the fish fries are over. I kind of like the fish fries. I actually do. I mean, who is your favorite one?
Well, my wife is allergic to fish, so
We
don't get out to them very often. But it is interesting to look around and compare because some of them have... some of them had cheese pizza this year. Other meatless dishes. A couple of them I know, have drive-ins where you don't have to stop.
They have drive-ins.
Drive-through and order and take it with you.
Yeah, we even had something interesting on, I think it was St. Paddy's Day, fell on a Friday this year, and so we got a dispensation, and our parish pitched in, and we had Reubens, mini Reuben sliders that day. It was crazy. But yeah, I do kind of miss. I love fish. I've grown to love it, I should say. So anyway, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
What we have one big thing coming up in the
our
next
few
weeks.
Our golf outing is just around the corner. It is down the road just a little bit. May 23rd.
Oh, right.
Great day. Great day. Begins with Mass at 11 o'clock in the morning. Then lunch about 11:30 or so, shotgun start a little afternoon, a great afternoon of golf, and then dinner. And we're just now working on the dinner, but I can give you a little preview here.
Who are we going to have?
It's going to be steak.
Is it Sullivan's again?
It is not. It's going to be prepared right on site.
Oh, dear.
And it's going
like
to be
grilled?
Absolutely delicious.
There's nothing better than grilled.
It's going to be great. The golf course has their own chef there. He and Barb Brinkman of our staff have been working to get a really good
menu.
It's going to be a lot of fun, a big full day. Like I say, all of those items are all included. Lunch is included. Dinner is included.
Oh, boy.
And there'll be some fun and some prizes. And possibly still a very brief speaker. They're still working on that because they know that really it's the golf that's the big draw. But sometimes they're able to get a local sports figure of some sort who can speak for a couple of minutes. And that's just a little frosting on the cake to make it extra worthwhile.
So, it's a fun day. It really is a fun day.
So mark your calendar the 23rd of May. And you can register right now. You can call the station at 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. You can call and just say you'd like to register for golf. It's $125 a person or $450 for a foursome.
And you don't need to sign up with a foursome. If you're a solo or there's just two of you, but you don't have a foursome, and we'll match up.
It's a great way to make new friends. And there always are. We have a lot of foursomes, but we have a lot of individuals as well.
Sure.
And we have a lot of priests that come and golf. And there's a good chance to get to know your pastor or one of the priests in the area in a totally different basis. I mean, when you meet them at church and talk to them after church, you know, you get to know them
That's
in a certain sense.
Sure.
But if you ride around in a golf cart all day with them, you really get to know them.
Yeah.
So that's the opportunity you have. And we also need some hole sponsors yet. If you have a business and would like to get some exposure for your business, we talk about you a little bit on the radio, give you a nice sign out at the golf outing and a little recognition during the dinner and things like that. It doesn't cost a whole bunch. Just call and ask us, and we'll tell you how you can be a hole sponsor. Our number again is 317-870-8400.
I'm just going to jump right in, Jim, to our guest. How about that?
All right.
Our guest today on Faith in Action.
The most controversial guest we've had in a long time.
She is. She's looking at us thinking, what? Wait.
You wouldn't know it to look at me.
We wouldn't, because she looks so young and sweet. And,
actually, the topic is controversial.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the topic. Yeah, the topic may be a little bit controversial, but I don't think has to be, which is why we invited you on today, because I don't think it has to be controversial. I think we need to talk about it. I think there are many ways to look at this. So Heidi Smith, Director of Refugee Services for Catholic Charities, Indianapolis Refugee and Immigrant Services. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, MJ and Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it's every once in a while I want a TV camera. Every once in a while I want to be Facebook Live. This is one of those days. She looks so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You know, she looks so fresh scrubbed.
Well,
know?
I love what I do, and that's why I've been there for 12 years.
12 years.
So ever since I graduated from college.
She has an interesting story. She started out, you started out I think, the most perfect way.
You know, it's true. The dream way to start a job is to learn it as an intern before you get hired to do it. So that's actually what I got to do. I was a senior social work student at Anderson University, and I did my practicum with Catholic Charities Refugee Program and have been there ever since.
How wonderful is that?
Now, before we get started, I think both names appear in your title there.
Yes.
But the difference between a refugee and an immigrant.
Well, this is a great question, because those commonly do get confused and used interchangeably, when refugee has a very, very specific political definition. And a refugee is a person that has been pushed from their homeland because of a fear of persecution based on their race, their religion, their political status, their ethnic group, or membership in a particular social group. So persons that would fall under those designations have to go through an extensive interviewing process to prove that they would fall under those categories. And an immigrant is different, because they're people that have chosen to migrate, oftentimes because of hardship in the lands that they're coming from. But it's a very different process, because a refugee has to prove the political status.
Okay, now that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So for instance, an immigrant could be maybe there just wasn't great work, or maybe they have more family here, or or they desire to live in the United States.
Yes.
But actually, a refugee, the bar is a little bit higher, you're saying, in order for them to be accepted as refugee status,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, let's jump in, because this has been really in the news for the last many months. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of misinformation being passed around. And I think that's what causes fear, maybe, and anxiety, is misinformation.
Sure.
So let's just start with the very basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Tell us how this works. I want to get down to a little bit more personal level. So tell us how this works.
Mm-hmm. I think the best way to begin to answer that question is just to give you a quick overview of the history of refugee resettlement in the United States. And really, that goes back to 1951 in the Geneva Convention. Basically, Europe was looking at reforming after World War II. They had all of these displaced people that had been pushed from their individual countries, trying to find a way to get back. So as the United Nations was looking at the situation, they decided that we need to find a way to find out who these people are and help them get back home. And that process is called repatriation.
Oh, right. Sure.
Which is still the goal today, is for people to be able to return home. So once that political definition was in place as a result of the Geneva Convention, basically, there unfortunately hasn't been a shortage of humanitarian crises that would cause people to literally run for their lives. So refugee resettlement itself began in 1975 here in the United States, and that's also when our program opened here at Catholic Charities in Indianapolis. And that was when people were fleeing Vietnam in boats. It was pretty much right after the fall of Saigon. And again, you're looking at masses of people that are basically running with nowhere to go. So as the United Nations was looking at it at this particular time, they were saying, we can't blame these people for leaving. Surely there's a more organized process than just having people just show up in mass in these countries that don't quite know how to handle them, when we don't really know how soon peace will come. So at that time, a process was started to look at resettling these individuals in a third country. The third country being the country they would go to after they have fled their homeland. They're living in another country, just kind of waiting to see what will happen.
In limbo, if you will.
Yes, yeah. Okay. A very long time of limbo. So a process was started then where once a person had applied for refugee status with a UN NGO entity overseas, they would go through a long series of checks to see if they in fact were a refugee, they are who they say they are, and are eligible for resettlement. There were 28 countries to this day that participate in that process. The United States is one of those countries. And though in the 70s it was intended to be a short-term project, again,
There's no shortage of,
exactly.
of countries in crisis. I mean, as you're talking, I'm saying, I think ideally they thought, yeah, we'll have this problem for a few years.
Exactly.
Five years maybe, but it continues today.
Right.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Heidi Smith, Director of Refugee Services for Catholic Charities, and actually Refugee and Immigrant Services, we're talking a little bit about actually how the process works, and we're going way back to the beginning of actually how the refugees and immigrants, the placement, the idea, the genesis of it really, and the need for it when right. it really started. You know, as you're talking, Heidi, I'm thinking that there have to have been many times over the years where a party could insert itself into the process and take advantage of these peoples, of these refugees. I mean, because they are, their footing has been lost.
Right.
The rug pulled out from under them, if you will.
Sure.
And so they are really open, completely open to the possibilities, and someone could insert themselves in and become a person of trust who really means no good.
Sure. And you know, for that particular piece, as we're looking at the process, that is why the security checks are so efficient. They say of all the doors to get into the United States, the door to come in as a refugee is the hardest.
Oh really?
Okay. Because a person has to go through security clearances involving the Department of Defense, the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, the National Counterterrorism Center, and the FBI. And it is a very extensive interagency check involving biometric checks, biographic checks. They say it lasts 18 to 24 months, but for most people it really lasts years. I mean, especially as we're looking at, there's 21 million refugees worldwide, and right now the United States is looking at resettling 50,000 of them.
Oh my goodness.
Well, what happened?
So just a fraction.
So we also, refugees, once they apply for resettlement, they don't get to choose which country they go to. So when the Department of State, once they've looked at all these security checks and a person has cleared them, they're actually selecting the cases. So these cases are handpicked and invited here to the United States because we know who they are and they've passed these checks. So if there's any question about an individual, they simply won't be invited to come live here, and they wouldn't have access to getting here because we, the International Organization on Migration, has to give them a plane ticket to get here, and they can only do it once the United States has approved them.
As you're saying that, I'm wondering, what about someone from a genuine third world country where they don't have much government, much sophistication to the whole operation of the country? You say you make all of these checks for biomedical and research and all the rest of it, but if there's no background to research, how is a person like that dealt with?
Well, as they're talking to these individuals, there's a number of things they do. Because one, and in many of these cases, there is information available still. Even if this individual, you know, as they're running for their lives, you don't necessarily have time to like run in your house and grab your documents. but there is a very sophisticated process in which the security interviewers are trained to ask specific questions and research particular information to validate the stories of these individuals.
And on that note, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy. There's lives being touched every single day by it.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Heidi Smith. She is from Catholic Charities here in Indianapolis. She's the Director of Refugee Services for Refugee and Immigrants. We're talking a little bit about the process and how someone even obtains refugee status. And I would like to go back to that a little bit because there's so many more questions I have.
Yes.
But you were saying that once someone applies,
yes,
they have no guarantee where they are going to end up. And actually, one of the associate pastors of our parish fell into that category.
Okay.
He had no idea where he was. He wanted to be in the United States, but he was actually sent someplace else and then came back to the United States in a very circuitous way. But I had no idea that it's kind of a potluck. You don't know where you're going to be assigned.
No.
Oh, how does that happen? I mean, how does that work? So who do they go to? Do you go to, if you go back to the country of origin, okay, and where do they go? Where do they first apply in order to get into the pool?
Well, it is a complex process, and if you're looking at all of the countries that have a conflict and which people are running for their lives, the stories are essentially the same. For the refugees themselves, you know, there's that moment that happens when they know they have to run.
Sure.
And oftentimes it's when the war is like literally at their doorstep.
Right.
Or they're seeing their family and loved ones killed in front of their eyes.
Right.
And, there's no map, there's no system, there's no GPS telling them where to go. And oftentimes they've crossed a border without even realizing it because they're on foot. They're not driving in a car.
Right, of course, yeah.
So basically, because there's such masses of people leaving, they tend to congregate in certain areas. So eventually finding themselves in a refugee camp or finding themselves maybe living in an urban area where they're able to stay there while they apply for resettlement somewhere else or wait to see what happens in their homeland. But basically in a refugee camp or in these urban areas, the UNHCR, which is the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, they'll set up entities to basically have people come and fill out applications. And that begins the process. And as they collect these applications and interviews, those are circulated to the different governments that are receiving refugees. And of the 28 countries that receive refugees, each one has a bit of a different process, but the United States is the toughest.
Well, that's really good to know.
Or do the countries that receive refugees kind of have a say in this as well, or do they openly agree to accept the refugees that are sent to them?
Yeah. And I can speak more particularly for the process in country as well as it's determined where refugees are going, because a lot of people wonder, how Indianapolis? how do they specifically end up here? So essentially, after the State Department has received all the cases that have been approved, each week they will have a meeting just outside Washington, D.C., with the 9 national resettlement agencies. The USCCB, or the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, is one of those 9. And again, most of the 9 national agencies have church affiliation. So they'll actually sit down around a table and look at all of the biographical information for each case that has been approved to resettle in the United States.
So a case-by-case basis.
So it's actually human beings sitting around the table.
A table like this.
Yes.
And you've got a stack of files in front of them and they're saying, okay, let's look at this guy.
Yes. So they'll look at that information and say, okay, does this person have family members in a particular city in the U.S.?
Okay.
Is there a particular concentration of that ethnic group in a particular place? Or does this case have a particular medical need that this city has a particular strength in assisting with?
Okay, so let's take it from that step to Catholic Charities of Indianapolis.
Yes.
Okay, so at what point do we get involved? Do these bishops who sit down say, okay, there are a lot of Burmese in Indianapolis, in Indiana, so this is another family from Burma, a Burmese family from Burma. Heavy concentration there. How about Indianapolis takes this?
Is that
Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. And then what happens on your end then?
So basically, for the share of refugee cases that have been received through the USCB, I'm sorry, the USCCB, basically we'll get a notice from them with all of the biographical information for the case, and also their flight arrangements so that we know when they're coming, so that we can have an apartment set up and ready for them, fully furnished with donated items, and we go pick them up at the airport, we take them to their new home, we show them how to use everything in the home, because, you know, some of them were living in urban areas and some of them were living in refugee camps their whole life, so we want to make sure they know how to use everything, and basically it starts off a process where you know, they're quickly having to learn how life works in the United States. And they come to our offices for orientation. We help them to apply for their social security cards and take them to the health department, to their primary care physician. But we also have employment and acculturation classes as well as English classes that they're attending until they find employment, and that's another thing that we assist them with. We have a lot of great relationships with employers in the area, and the climate right now with jobs is very good, so we're actually getting more calls from employers wanting to hire our clients than we can even fill.
You do help with the relocation and acclimation process.
Yes.
Now, where does the funding from all of this come from if you're putting them in an apartment and there may be weeks or months before they find a job? How are their expenses covered?
We have very short-term federal funding to assist each case. And for each case, depending on how many members are in the family, it depends on the funding program they're in. But pretty much the funding lasts the first 3 to 4 months that they're here, and then they're on their own. But most of them are finding jobs within 2 months of arrival.
Now, I wonder if, you know, a few of these, but maybe not many of them, are Catholic. So,
yes.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a prerequisite, right?
Right.
But if they are, and is there any chance that they could be inserted into a parish that might be able to help with the further acclimation process and maybe offer family support in the broadest sense of the word.
We've been blessed to have great parish involvement, but for each of the refugees that we're working with, you know, we just talk to them about, you know, what are their goals once they're here in the United States, and we want to get them connected to the community in the best way possible, and so that often involves the Catholic Church. Many times it's a church close by to them. Some of them choose to attend a mosque, and they've been very supportive of our program as well.
So. Okay, so, you know, actually infamously or famously, we've had a travel ban, you know, and that 1.0 and now 2.0. And has this affected at all the process that or affects the immigration or refugees that are coming into Indiana?
Sure. And while, you know, we've experienced two executive orders, essentially, both of which have been blocked by federal judges, and then we're waiting to see what the next step is, what's remained is a severe reduction in the numbers of refugees that the United States will receive. So
directly because of the executive orders?
Mm-hmm. Prior to the executive orders, Congress had approved 110,000 refugees for the fiscal year, which is October to September.
Okay.
And that number has been reduced to 50,000.
So cut in half. Mm-hmm. So maybe even, so tell us a little bit about these families. Are these families who have been in the pipeline for months or years and maybe had hopes of relocation and now have the list has been cut in half?
Yeah. There's many of them that are finding themselves in despair because they had this hope of being able to be resettled here and now do not know what they are facing.
Okay, so let me ask you, and if you're just now tuning in, Heidi Smith, Director of Refugee Services for Catholic Charities here in Indianapolis, Refugee and Immigrant Services, and you've been around for 12 years, so way before, I mean, we've always had, you know, issues with this, I think always, since the 70s, obviously, but it's a hot topic right now. Yeah. Politics seems to be inserted into this. Mm-hmm. Has politics always been a part of this for you, Heidi? Or is it just, this seems for me, the last six months?
Well, I will say that It has been of growing concern politically since about the end of 2015. When I started in 2005, it really didn't matter Republican or Democrat who was in office because we've received such bipartisan support. I mean, this has been a very strong.
Let's even go back to 9/11, though.
Yeah.
That was a little bit before, but not much mm-hmm. before. You know, it would seem to be heightened after 9/11 that people would be concerned mm-hmm. a little bit.
And there was a temporary pause. And again, this is before I started working there, but I'm aware that there was a pause in a program at that time. Again, it wasn't for 4 months, but they paused it. They relooked at the processes and started back up again when they had time to relook at things. And, you know, every year we're looking at security screenings and reviewing the process to make sure it is secure. And so right now I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding about the process and a lot of misperception.
Well, you know, I'm glad, Heidi, that you came on because I think there is a lot of misunderstanding on both sides. And I hesitate to say on both sides of the aisle because I don't want this to be Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Because I think it's a humanitarian issue mm-hmm. That's being viewed in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you came on today mm-hmm. because you did explain the levels and I think that's what people are concerned about. Does Catholic yeah. Charities vet? You know, mm-hmm. How deep is the vetting process? Mm-hmm. So we have just over a minute left, Heidi, mm-hmm. and I would like to cede it to you, maybe, and you could give us the last minute and a half or so of mm-hmm. your take on the overview of mm-hmm. the refugee and status mm-hmm. here in Indiana.
Well, I'll say this. One thing that I've loved so much about doing this work is because the individuals I meet on a daily basis, these refugees that have fled war and unimaginable trauma, add so much to our lives here, not only in their life's perspectives and their resilience and their spirituality, but also by how quickly they're able to contribute to our economy. I think a lot of people are worried that we'll lose something instead of gaining something and welcoming these people. And it's truly a win-win situation.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Heidi Smith, Director of Refugee Services with Catholic Charities here in Indianapolis. We've been talking about refugee and immigrant services. And if you missed part of today's program, please go to the website and pull down the podcast. Very interesting. God bless you, Heidi.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.